I'd like to thank our sponsor, Brandon Moyer of Made to Be Clean Cleaning Services. They use low toxic cleaning solutions to make your home or office clean and healthy. Made to Be Clean, your hive, our purpose. 484-509-7197. Hello, this is Brad Wiseman. You're listening to Real Estate and You. We are back here with Justin Perella from Contour Mortgage. It is going to be a great show. We are updating you on all the mortgage information that is going on right now. And it's a little ugly out there. Rates are going up, but I see some light at the end of the tunnel because I see inventory going up. So that's really good. Is that good? That's good. So, Justin is in the studio here. Let's get right into mortgages.
Hola, Brad.
So are you like the Grim Reaper right now because rates are going up?
No.
No?
No, because at the end of the day, we have no, you know, the inventory is what drives it. I mean, my mood and my, you
gotcha.
Know, how busy I am, obviously.
Okay, so that's true.
Listen, it is what it is. You know, we don't control it. So if
we
you want to buy a house,
it. That's right.
You know, the rates are...
The rates are the rates.
The rates are the rates.
And the reality is, these are not high rates.
No, I mean, and again, we'll jump into it, but you're looking at 30-year, 5.75 to 6, depending on your credit score. 15-year is pretty good at 5.125, is 5 1/8, as we call it, to 5.3.
And you know what's funny? You know, normally when you would look at the 15-year rate, and I wanted to ask you this, and you look at the 15-year rate on a normal situation, the payment goes way up.
Yes.
In today's world, going from 3.25% now to 5, let's just say to 5 1/4, 5.375 for 15, mm-hmm. that delta between what the 30-year was going to be mm-hmm. at 3.5 based now going to 15-year,
right.
maybe you can save a little, maybe it's a little
yeah,
bit better.
It will be, and I can run those scenarios, but this whole thing comes down to when do we think the rates are going to go down again? So if I'm buying, I have to look at how long am I going to be in this 6%?
Right. And but that's a guess. That's an educated guess,
yes,
right?
Correct. Yes.
There's nobody has the crystal ball to look at that and go, okay, this is where rates are going. But you're saying some of the indicators, some of the experts, if you want to call them that, mm-hmm. are saying that rates might go down next year or 2 years from now?
There's always been refis.
Yes.
It seems like it's obviously cyclical. Like, so the rates go up, they go down, they go up. So there's always going to be a time to refi.
Sure.
Is that going to be in 3 years, 2 years?
Who knows? 1 year?
Who knows?
Well, anybody buying now, if the rate goes down to, I mean, if you buy at that real bad spot of 6.125 mm-hmm. because your credit stinks right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then later on, the rate goes down to
even a point,
or if it goes down even more than that, and now their credit's better,
they're going to do it.
They're going to refi.
So that's why I don't think points or paying for a rate right now makes sense. I think you just, you know, you get the best you can
for your credit.
For your credit,
right.
Maybe a little bit of money, you know, and I'd say you do the math and figure out how long it's going to take you to pay that point or partial points off.
Right.
But you know, don't throw a lot of money at it because like you said, there's going to be a time kids going to college, you want to do a cash out refi. If they go down more than the rule of thumb used to be 1%.
Right.
Now
right.
it's they think more half, three quarter. And it's all relative to your situation.
Absolutely.
Do you need the money?
Yeah.
So I think you're eventually going to refi within 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to refi because of things you aren't thinking about, like divorce.
Yeah.
Estates, or not estates, but like a trust or something like that. Or
so if you're fighting with your wife, you don't want...
Wait till the rates go down to get divorced. I mean, come on, people, be a little sensible. Could you imagine having that conversation? Well, we're not going to get divorced now. I can't stand you.
Yeah,
but
Justin,
we're going to wait till the rates go down. So yeah, Justin said, give me 2 years.
Could happen.
Yeah, it could. Absolutely could happen. So, okay. So the rates are what they are. Now, I had asked you when we talked about doing the show, what about adjustable rate mortgages?
Yeah.
ARMs, they used to call them ARMs.
Mm-hmm. No, they still do.
Yeah.
ARMs. Not really. I mean, right now, I just priced them before I came, and almost all of the adjustable rate mortgages come with points.
Okay. So you're paying points and...
And so
you're not locking that rate for more than what? 7 years, five years?
I quoted a 5 1/7.
Okay.
And a 5 was 5.625, so 5 5/8. And that was with a point.
Oh my God, that's not good at all.
No, because if you look at it, you could probably get a 30-year for 5.75.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
At a half a point.
Forget that I ever even asked you that. Okay?
Well, no, but it's a good question because you're not the first person in a lot of clients ask.
Well, that's the thing. As soon as rates go up, I always think adjustable rates. Yeah. Because years ago, when rates went up or when rates were higher, you always thought adjustable rate mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would say, okay, I know that in the next, the same thing before as the refis, I know that over the next 5 to 7 years, most likely the rate is going to come down to a place that I'm going to go, okay, now I'm going to refinance, now I'm going to lock.
Or you're not going to be in that house.
Or you're not going to be in that house.
I mean, that's the other thing.
Or you get divorced again. And then you got even more problems because now you're spending money like you wouldn't believe.
That's awesome. So again, yes. So life-changing events. You're not,
yes.
You know, so don't pay points in arms. You don't know how long you're, so you've got to ask yourself, is this a 5-year house? Is this a 7-year house? And you might not know, but you know, if it's your first house, you're talking about 4 to 7 years.
Yeah, I would say that. And actually, what's funny is, as you look at the stats, and people are moving sooner. Years ago, it used to be 7 to 10 years.
Okay.
With the increase in homes over the last 3 to 4 years, we're seeing people move in 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
They're grabbing the cash and going somewhere else.
Yeah, especially in this market.
Yeah, exactly. So that's so the arms are out.
Yeah.
Arms are out.
Arms are out. Don't pay points.
Don't pay points.
Well, extraordinary points.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't throw anything more than you know, 1%, 1 point.
And when we say that, that's 1% of the mortgage amount, correct, not the house, not the actual price of the house.
Correct.
Okay.
Just and there's partial points. So you might be able to spend $500, you know, the house is $100,000. Obviously 1 point would be 1,000. Half a point might get you an eighth of a point, you know, so right, partial points.
Okay. Sounds good. So where are we at? You made a big deal about the HELOCs before we went live.
Yeah, only because, you know, people that need money for...
Now, let's talk about... We always throw on the word HELOC. It's home equity line of credit, right? Yep,
HELOC,
which is a secure or serious home equity line of credit.
No, we just want to be, you know...
Want to be very politically correct. So there's a HELOC and a HELOC.
Home equity lines of credit. So a lot of my clients ask me, you know, there's stuff that I need to do to the house. Should I do a HELOC or should I wait and then do a cash out refi? So always a HELOC in this environment, in my opinion.
And they allow you up to what percent?
Well, all banks are different. I've seen 95.
Whoa.
So again, if the house is 100,000, your total debt on that house can be 95,000. Whereas,
so if you loan for 80 already, you're at 15 grand. You're 15 grand. You're pulling out.
But you're not paying mortgage insurance on that 15.
That's
why.
True.
That's why it makes sense, because you're still, quote unquote, able to write that interest off because it's underneath your home. But you're not paying mortgage insurance on that 80 to 90.
Well, I remember a time when you could do that 80, 15, 5 or 80, 10, 10.
I used to do it all the time, 80, 10, 10. Yeah.
And that was basically to save on the mortgage insurance.
Correct. You can still do it. I don't know why they don't do it much anymore.
I don't know either. I think what happened is the second lien position during 2007 didn't get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they were the first ones to not get paid because of default. So the HELOCs are good. It's a good idea. And grab some money out of there, especially right now. I mean, you know, if you have anything you want to do with that house, grab some of that money out and use the money that you have into your home.
Correct. And then consolidate.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, what else we got here? Construction loans.
Well, they're on. I just wanted to let everybody know that they're not a thing of past. You know, we do.
They're out there.
Yeah, they're out there and we're doing them. It's just the cost of, I mean, you know, the cost of lumber is outrageous. But we need builders. We need those, you know, those guys and gals out there building homes.
So. We need to add to our inventory. That's correct. The big thing, you know.
So we'll help finance that. So if anybody's.
And that's actually doing the draw and everything. Like, you do a draw and everything on that?
Okay. Correct.
That's the old school way.
It is.
Well,
because some builders will finance it now on their own. And, you know, obviously the end user, the buyer likes that. Because
turnkey. You know, it's not all the other
but
stuff.
But not all of them offer it. So if you need or you found land, let's say you bought land on your own, you're not going to get a builder to finance that. But so
how to win an offer? You had said this to me before and, you know, write a good letter. There are a lot of people doing the letters yet that it does work sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes agents, unfortunately, don't even show them to their client. And we have different thoughts on that because we're supposed to present all offers to the seller, both written and verbal. But there's nothing that the state says about personal letters. Because really the letter has nothing to do, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the actual numbers and the actual official agreement of sale. In my mind, I think you need to show it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. If I'm at settlement, regardless of the letter, that the buyer that won it, I'm sitting there with the seller and the buyer says, hey, was it the letter that did it?
And they say, well,
and they go, what letter?
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't go well. Yeah. It's not a good conversation. It's not a good way to end settlement or end a relationship. So In my opinion, if the buyer gives me something or the buyer's agent gives me something that was meant to go to the seller, I feel it should be given to them.
Yeah.
You know,
and this was almost a question because you probably see more, I'm wondering, cause I heard some really cool ones like,
I mean, if it's a real legit, I mean, obviously it's gotta be legit. It's gotta be real. The only other thing too, that I would say not to do is do not include pictures.
Oh, wow.
Don't include pictures.
Why is that?
Because it can get really sticky here. And I'm going to tell you why is if somebody doesn't get picked, and there was a picture with it and there was a certain culture or certain whatever in that picture, it could be deemed that they weren't picked because of the picture.
Mm.
Okay. So you just got to be careful. We have to be careful in where we are in this world. Jeez, I mean, you know,
what if I don't wear my sombrero in the picture?
See, he can say that. We're not allowed to say that. No, I'm kidding. No, you're right. But that's the thing. That's exactly the point there, Hugo, is we're in a world today that obviously sometimes you can't show who you really are because they're afraid they're going to be discriminated against or whatever.
So what's the, what's the craziest thing? Not craziest, but what's the coolest thing you've heard?
Well,
I heard of like buying trucks, moving trucks, like it's all that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Absolutely. Yeah, you can in the offer itself. I mean, we've heard, you know, all kinds of stuff. Watching the dog while they're moving their furniture. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can come up with. I mean, and be creative.
Airplane winning tickets.
Yeah. Oh, you can do anything. The only thing you got to watch is obviously, you know, we're all signing at settlement that there was no other consideration that wasn't on the agreement of sale. If it's on the agreement of sale that there's flight tickets coming with this, obviously the appraiser is going to have a problem with that. Okay. You have to be careful. I think we all have to be careful because we have to watch what we're doing. Everything has to be legal. Everything has to follow the bank guidelines and all those things there. So, but you know, you can still be creative.
So I mean, a moving truck would not qualify as giving the money?
I don't think so. I think a moving truck would be, you could just say it's a gift. There's no money involved there. Saying. It's a gift. You know, we're going to allow you to use this moving truck or whatever. So a lot of realtors use moving trucks. And, you know, Susan has the big dumpster that she does for free with any of her clients.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
So there's a lot of things you can do that way. But, yeah, it's how to win an offer has gotten more and more challenging. But let's go to the reality of where I think things are starting to go. Mm-hmm. I think because rates, Justin, of the little climb in rates, I think what I'm starting to see is a little bit less, just a tiny little less of buyers out there. Yeah, I think we lost some buyers. I know I lost a couple buyers in the market, and I think we have lost some.
When you say lost, I don't think we lost. I think
they're backing out.
Yeah,
they're saying, you know what? There's a couple reasons why they're saying, you know what? Is one is they put four or five offers and didn't get it.
Frustrated.
And now on top of that, they're like, okay, now I haven't gotten a house in four or five offers, and my rate went up by 2 points.
Yeah. So you not know? Only I'm overpaying for the house. And so, yeah, we need.
You're overpaying in both places.
Yeah.
On your interest rate and on, because before it was acceptable and understand, and people could swallow that and go, okay, I'm paying more for the house, but I've got a great rate over the next 30 years.
Yeah.
So I think that's some of the things that have gone on. So, what are the things that you're seeing?
Well, so the one thing we're doing is, and that's where I have a slide for, we have a secure buyer. So this is, this is something that's good for you when you're presenting an offer. So what I like to do for my buyers once I get them is I want to get them not only a pre-approval, but I want to get them an actual commitment.
Right.
So we're going to bring you in and we're going to get everything up front and we're going to get a dollar amount. Not just an address that we're approving you for. So we're going to get a dollar amount, and we're going to put you through a program called our Secure Buyer. So now
you're actually taking them through underwriting?
Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive on our end, obviously, because we have to do all the work without knowing that
that's going
to
work.
Get a house.
Right.
But it's worth it, because if we can get a commitment, and now we're almost like a cash deal.
Right. Got it.
So you can submit your offer and say, hey, we're ready to roll as soon as we have an appraisal.
So basically that commitment letter, that letter you give as the pre-approval or approval, mm-hmm. basically states, really, we're waiting for an appraisal.
Yep.
And title. Mm-hmm. Cause everything else is pretty much done. And that to me is very valuable. Because one of the things that we have seen in the past and seen through this market is there are some lenders that will basically do a little interview over the phone. Okay, they pull the credit, never checked on income, never checked on employment verifications at all, didn't check anything. It just went by, you know, and obviously 90% of the time or more, the buyer's telling the truth and it's all good.
Yeah, but I've gotten those calls from, from agents that say, oh, you checked the pay stubs and we
that's kind of what we're supposed to do. It's called trust but verify, right? That's
Ronald
what it's
Reagan.
Called trust but verify. So you know that's a great program, and that's, and what's it called again, what's that program?
Secured buyer.
Awesome. You had some other graphs we wanted to show, and for the podcast I'll explain to you what we have. What were the other graphs you had? You want to show us the bond market, that correlates with interest rate, right?
Correct. 10-year treasury. I just took a couple snapshots. Just this is the 1 month that you're looking at.
Okay. And that's the 10-year treasury bond.
Correct.
Right?
So is this going to be point for point what the interest rates are, drive off of? No.
But it's close.
Is one of the factors.
Right.
So typically what I tell people is it's about 3% above where we're at. So that would put us at 5.817, which is about right.
Give
or take. So you can see right there, I know it looks like big drop. So this is 1 month. So it looks like back, 25th last month, it was the lowest. And that lowest was 2.775. So the difference is not even that much.
You're exactly.
So you can see 5 years ago, we were about the same.
We were at what? 2.8120?
Yeah. Right? So we were probably at about 5.25.
Okay.
And then you see, back in 19, we were even higher.
Yeah, 2019, it looks like the bond market was way higher.
So, and again, then it came all the way down in less than, 2 years? So,
But that's kind of what it follows, right? I mean, it definitely has a lot to do with the interest rate, right?
Yeah, when somebody's calling me up and asking me what the rates are today, before I pull up my actual rate sheet, I go to CNBC and just pull up those graphs.
Right.
And I see what so I'll know that if it's down, if there's a red arrow, it's probably a little good. If there's a green arrow up, it's, we're worse than yesterday.
Gotcha. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's what follows. And that just goes back to everybody thinking that it follows the Fed rate, which it doesn't.
Right. So when the Fed raises the interest rates, I mean, it's going to affect it.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, but that's more your SHELOCs and HELOCs.
Yeah, there you go. And the hemlocks too. The hemlocks are in there too. So that's cool. That's good stuff. Anything else you can think of? Any advice or anything that we have going on that you would want to talk about that you're seeing in the market? I mean, I'm seeing a little uptick today. We had 301 homes on the market when I checked, which is, it's looking good. We were at 280 or something last week.
Yeah, 270. 270s was where it was hovering. No, just don't give up hope. I mean, just
don't give up hope. That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Keep the dream alive.
Keep the faith.
Keep on trucking.
Keep the faith alive. Right? Is there anything else we can say positive? Come on, Hugo. Do you have one?
Come on,
you have anything positive to say about the market? No?
I'm excited to buy a home this year.
Oh, you're excited to buy a home. There we go. The American dream, right? Yeah. The American dream. Thank you so much, Justin. I appreciate you coming in here. We'll have you back in several weeks. We got all kinds of people coming in. And I am still working on getting the president of Keller Williams to be on this show.
Wow.
He's agreed to do it. I just got to work out a date. So be looking for that one. It's going to be a good one. All right.
Awesome.
We'll see you later. Are your kitchen and bathroom way overdue for a remodel? Well, I got the guy for you. Call John Sellers at First Response Contracting, 484-256-7136. Both residential and commercial services, and he's licensed and insured. Call him at 484-256-7136, First Response Contracting.